Okay, so now we'll go on to Srimad Bhagavatam. Oh my God, not much time. So reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 20th chapter, text 15, I believe. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Gireho Varsha Dharabir Anyamana Na Avivyatuhu Abhibhuyamana Vyasanair Yatha Doksaja Chetasaha Giriyo Varsha Dharabir Anyamana Navivyahu Anyamana Navivyatuhu Abibu Yamana Vyasanar Yatadoksaja Chetasaha Giriyo Varsha Dharabir Anyamana Navivyatuhu Abhibhuyamana Vyasana Yatadoksaja Chetasaha Giriyo Varsha Dharabir Anyamana Navivyatuhu Abhibhuyamana Vyasana Yatadoksa Jajetasaha. Okay. Girayaha, the mountains, Varshadara Bihi, by the rain-bearing clouds. Hai Hanyamanaha, being struck. Na Vivyatuhu, did not shake. Abhibhuyamanaha, being attacked. Vyasanahai, by dangers. Yata, as. Adhoksaja Chetasaha, those whose minds are absorbed in the Supreme Lord. Translation. Just as devotees whose minds are absorbed in the personality of Godhead remain peaceful, even when attacked by all sorts of dangers, the mountains in the rainy season were not at all disturbed by the repeated striking of the rain-bearing clouds. You could repeat. Just as devotees whose minds are absorbed in the personality of Godhead remain peaceful even when attacked by all sorts of dangers, the mountains in the rainy season were not at all disturbed by the repeated striking of the rain-bearing clouds. So purport by the servants of his divine grace, the Prabhupada, when splashed by torrents of rain, the mountains are not shaken. Rather, they are cleansed of dirt and become resplendent and beautiful. Similarly, an advanced devotee of the Supreme Lord is not shaken from his devotional program by disturbing conditions, which instead cleanse his heart of the dust of attachment to this world. I'm just going to repeat that sentence. So in other words, the disturbing conditions, I'm going to paraphrase it, actually cleanse his heart of his continuation of service in spite of the disturbing conditions, cleanses his heart of the dust of attachment to the world. Thus, the devotee becomes beautiful and resplendent by tolerating difficult conditions. In fact, a devotee accepts all reverses in life as the mercy of Lord Krishna, realizing that all suffering is due to the sufferer's own previous misdeeds. And then we'll read, I guess, quickly, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, not much time. Though struck by the torrents of water, the mountain does not shake, but rather becomes beautiful, washed of dirt. The devotee afflicted by pains caused by body, mind, and other entities is not disturbed because his mind is absorbed in the Lord. Atoksaja Chitta. Bhagavatam says the material pains cannot disturb the devotee absorbed in me. And actually, I want to read that verse, 325.23 in Bhagavatam. I just printed it out. It's a Marashraya Kata Mrishta Srinvanti Kata Yanti Cha Tapanti Vividastapa Naitan Ma Gata Chetasaha. Engaged constantly in chanting and hearing about me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the sadhus do not suffer from material miseries because they are always filled with thoughts of my pastimes and activities. And Prabhupada's purport to this is, there are multifarious miseries in material existence, those pertaining to the body and the mind, those imposed by other living entities, and those imposed by natural disturbances. But a sadhu is not disturbed by such miserable conditions because his mind is always filled with Krishna consciousness, and thus he does not like to talk about anything but the activities of the Lord. So, of course, this is actually important in these particular days of the COVID virus. Maharaj Ambarish did not speak of anything but the pastimes of the Lord, Vachamsi Vaikuntha Gunanuvarnane. That's from the ninth canto of Bhagavatam. He engages words only in the glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sadhus are always interested in hearing about the activities of the Lord or his devotees. Since they are filled with Krishna consciousness, they are forgetful of the material miseries. That's an important word. Ordinary conditioned souls, being forgetful of the activities of the Lord, are always full of anxieties and material tribulations. On the other hand, since the devotees always engage in the topics of the Lord, they are forgetful of the miseries of material existence. So, that's 325.23. It's actually quite a wonderful verse by in the Bhagavatam, and a wonderful purport by Srila Prabhupada. That rather the devotee remains free of pride, envy, and other bad qualities because of his humble attitude. Such difficulties are welcomed by the devotees. And Jiva Goswami states, mountains struck by the intense showers of rain, as if trying to defeat it, but do not feel grief, but rather become beautiful, being cleansed of dirt. Similarly, a person thinking the Lord does not grieve because of difficulties like sickness, because he must necessarily experience them as parabdha karma. Tvam sevatam surakrita bahuvo ntaraya. The devatas place many obstacles on the path of those who worship you. That's from the Bhagavatam. Though being assaulted, the devotees do not feel grief. Rather, they become glorious since they perfect remembrance of the Lord with the dissolving of bad karmas. That is indicated in Sridhar Swami's commentary by the word eva. Those who think of the Lord only are not disturbed by difficulties. And Prabhupada's translation here, in light of the Bhagavat, the mountains, although being struck by torrents of rain during the rainy season, are not shaken, just as those whose hearts are dedicated to the transcendental personality of Godhead are never disturbed, even when harassed by good fortune. And Prabhupada's purport, because a person who is spiritually advanced accepts any adverse condition of life as the mercy of the Lord, he is completely eligible to enter into the spiritual kingdom. Even though a person takes to the devotional service of the Supreme Lord, he may sometimes become diseased, impoverished, or disappointed by life's events. A true devotee of the Lord always considers these sufferings to be due to past sinful activities, and thus without becoming disturbed, he patiently awaits the mercy of the Supreme Lord. Such devotees are compared to high mountains, which are never agitated in any way, even when struck by powerful torrents of rain in the rainy season. Rather, such devotees remain humble in spiritual enlightenment, free from pride and envy. They easily gain the mercy of the Lord and go back home, back to Godhead. So, Om Gana Timiranda Shah Gananjana Shlaka Chakshur Unmeditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So, naturally, hearing all these things, we're reminded of the verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Tatenu Kampam Susha Mikshamana Bunjana Vatman Kritam Vipakam Ridbhag Vapurvir Vidanam Namaste Jiveta Yo Mukti Pude Sudaya Bhak. And this is a verse that Srila Prabhupada would often think about. And the verse says that one tolerates what comes, you know, the difficulties that come, and he attributes them to reactions to his past sinful activities. Now, on the other hand, I'm going to give a balanced approach to this. One who is chanting the holy name of the Lord, we've still got another 4 minutes, doesn't really even have any sinful activities. As we've spoken many times before in Bhaktivinoda Thakur states, that when one chants the holy name of the Lord, even the Parabdha karma is demolished. However, for those of us who are coming to Krishna consciousness, and we're not talking about people like Prabhupada, those who are coming to Krishna consciousness, we don't have any more Parabdha karma, but Krishna gives us what Prabhupada termed a token reaction for our past sinful activities. In other words, another example Prabhupada gave was like the fan. You know, you have a fan, fan's plugged in, it's moving very fast, you unplug it, and the momentum of the fan enables the fan to continue spinning. So there is some momentum which is directly administered by Krishna for someone who is a devotee chanting the Lord's holy names that reminds you of your past wonderful activities in the material world. Sinful activities in the material world. But it is not really Parabdha karma at that point. I know this is an argument some people have, but Bhaktivinoda Thakur makes it extremely clear that, just put this book away, that by chanting the holy name, even in Namabhash, all the karma, Parabdha karma, etc., Kuta, Bija, you know, whatever, becomes eradicated. So there's a token reaction. So this verse states that, but a devotee doesn't think, oh, it's just a token reaction. A devotee thinks that this is my sinful reaction that I would have to suffer because it's been reduced by Krishna because of my past activities. And I am going to not just tolerate, this verse says, I'm going to go on serving Krishna, rid vag bapurbir vidadan namaste. I'm going to go serving Krishna enthusiastically. Because what does it mean, rid vag bapurbir? Bapura means like body, like you know about spiritual master is Vani, and Vapu, same word. Vapu means physical body. And Vani, of course, means instructions. So Rid means heart. You understand? Heart, words. Vaga, of course, like Vak, words. So he goes on serving Krishna. Let's just take this heart thing. That's where I'm deriving enthusiasm from. You know, Utsahan Nistya Darya Tatat Karma Pavartanat. Because his heart's given to Krishna, he's enthusiastic. It's not that he just tolerates. He's thinking, all these difficulties are coming. Oh, Krishna, I know it's a token reaction, but I am miserable too. You know, nobody knows the troubles I've seen. Nobody knows the sorrows. 16 rounds, and what do I get? Another day older and deeper in debt. Yamaraj, don't call me, for I can't come. You know that song? That's an old Negro spiritual in the United States, you know, 16 tons. Anyway, so, Yamaraj, don't call me, I can't come. So, it's not, you know, sometimes we get into this real complaining, negativity. Oh, my God, you know, what's happened to me? You know, I look in the mirror. What happened to my youth? If someone shows me a picture yesterday of me as a young person, Leela Shakti said, that was my spiritual master. And so instead of lamenting, you know, what happened to my youth or what happened to whatever, my get up and go, went up and went. So instead of that, I remain enthusiastic. Why? Even though the body is not enthusiastic anymore. You know, when you're young, the body is naturally enthusiastic. Get you moving like that, like you see with some of the young people. So you just push yourself. Like, actually, Sasru Maharaj gave a nice example. He said, enthusiasm is like a catcher's mitt. He was a baseball fan. And he said, what do you do when you have, I guess, the catcher's mitt in the left hand? Yeah, I don't remember. He said, you keep punching it. Even though it keeps going out of shape, you keep punching it. Because rid with the heart, you're serving Krishna. So that's really the point. So no complaining. Or as they use in Sanskrit, kvetching. I can translate that word for you later in the Sanskrit-English dictionary. So, all right, on that happy note. Like you see, Prabhupada didn't complain. When he was getting the spinal tap, they asked Prabhupada, does it hurt? And what did Prabhupada say? Does anyone remember? We tolerate. Yeah. And Prabhupada was probably preaching to the people who were giving him the spinal tap at the same time.
Oh. Oh, Thank you.